Well, let's turn to Numbers chapter 9 this evening. We left off kind of talking about the Levites as they were the ones that were selected. And you kind of remember that initially when we talked about the people that were chosen to serve the Lord and serve in the tabernacle and serve in that function, you remember that initially that was to be the firstborn of all the children of Israel, the firstborn males of all the children of Israel. But then there was the incident with the golden calf, and you remember that the Levites stood on with Moses and were willing to unsheath their swords and do the business that needed to be done and stand with Moses in the Lord and trust God. And a great lesson in that to learn, and God really honors that. So we saw that the Levites were chosen. We saw that one of the things that they kind of, out of chapter 3, I thought was really good was that they were being cleansed, in verse 7 of chapter 8. They were being cleansed, with the water and the purification as it was kind of poured on them. They were cleansed themselves then also in the latter part of verse 7. So there's that idea of our positional, for all of us, we're positionally, washed and cleansed. As followers of Jesus Christ, our position in Christ is that you and I are seen by the Lord as washed and cleansed, we're forgiven. Man, that's a great thing to know and to embrace and to walk in. That's our position. But practically speaking, we need to apply the blood and the water and the washing of the water of the Word. We need to be in the Word. We need to let God minister to us and speak to our hearts and clean us up. Because the reality is every day we're out there and, we just can get soiled and messed up a little bit just by being entangled in the things of this world. That's life. And so it's important for us positionally, secure, washed, cleansed in Jesus Christ. Practically, we need to do things that get us in that place, like gathering like this and getting washed and cleansed in the water, our devotional time, our prayer time, fellowship. All of those things are important. We discussed that in our last study, but that's just to get our minds thinking right. And we kind of left off that the training, how the training worked in verses 23 through 26 of the Levites, how they were to be trained for that 5 years from 25 to 30, and then from 30 they stepped into that position of leadership and care for the things of the temple or the tabernacle of meeting presently, ultimately the temple, but presently the tabernacle of meeting. So they do that until they're 50, and at 50 years old, then they went into more of a mode of training those who are 25 to 30. So we pick it up in verse 1 of chapter 9. Now the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year after they had come out of the land of Egypt, saying, "Let the children of Israel keep the Passover at its appointed time. On the 14th day of this month at twilight, you shall keep it at its appointed time. According to all its rites and ceremonies, you shall keep it." So Moses told the children of Israel that they should keep the Passover, and they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month at twilight in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses. So the children of Israel did. This idea again of a consistent reminder of the fact that at Passover they celebrated their deliverance from the bondage that there was in Israel. And you remember, Egypt. And so you remember the bondage that they were in, that as they were there and being slaves of Egypt and eventually being set free. And it wasn't Moses that set them free. God was the one that set them free. Moses was just kind of one of the agents involved in the process, but God was doing all the work. And I think that's important for us whenever we're involved in doing anything, that God's the one that's going to do it. So a lot of times we just get the privilege of being a part of the process a little bit. But this idea of celebrating the Passover, I think for us, there's a big significance in remembering, and this is part of what we do with communion, really. Communion is somewhat representative of the Passover also in the fact that ultimately Jesus Christ was the sacrificial lamb. Ultimately, his body was broken, his blood was shed, and that's part of what we celebrate when we take part in the bread and the cup and communion itself. And so we want to remember that. We want to remember what God's done for us, but we want to remember who he is today, what he wants to do in and through our lives, and just kind of be aware of those things, that God's at work and doing this. And so I think it's not something that we want to not do. It's something that, again, for us here, as we gather, we do that once a month as a body. But that time set aside to reflect and kind of contemplate the goodness of the Lord and what the Lord's doing. and that he's the one that delivered us. He's the one that washed and cleansed our hearts and our lives. Now, in verse 6, there were certain men who were defiled by a human corpse so that they could not keep the Passover on that day. And they came before Moses and Aaron that day, and those men said to him, "We became defiled by a human corpse. Why are we kept from presenting the offering to the Lord at its appointed time among the children of Israel?" And Moses said to them, "Stand still, that I may hear what the Lord will command concerning you." And I think, man, if you could highlight or make an asterisk or a note verse 8, man, I think there's some important stuff. Because in verse 8, Moses is confronted with a question. Moses is confronted with a counsel point. Moses is confronted with, hey, you know, why is this way? Or how does this really fit in? Or does this really make sense? And I love Moses' response here, what he says to them. He says, "Stand still, that I may hear what the Lord will command concerning you." He says, you know what? Let me hear from the Lord on that. Now, how does that translate to you and me? You know, someone approaches us and they've got a question about something, or they've got, you know, Moses didn't come up with something and just start making something up. You know, so he seemed smart, or he seemed like he knew what he was doing, or seemed like, well, that's what a good leader would do. They just come up with something and say something. You know, I mean, he didn't get bogged down with any of that. Wait a minute. I'm not exactly sure. Let me hear from the Lord on this. He prayed. He sought out counsel from the Lord regarding a matter that, and I'll tell you, I find that there are very few circumstances that are exactly the same. So most of the time, this is your best solution. Seek out counsel from the Lord. Now, not only is that through prayer for us as believers, but God's not going to tell you something through the Spirit in a prayer time that is any different than what you find here. Nothing. If something's running around in your head and you can't find it right here, you better get rid of it fast and dismiss it, because it is not from God. It doesn't matter how great it sounds. It doesn't matter what a great, seemingly good idea. It doesn't matter if there's 1,500 books written on the topic of how it's supposed to be a certain way. If it's not found here, I would dismiss it. And especially where it's concerning our interaction with others. You know, people that are seeking counsel. These guys are seeking counsel. Hey, listen, you know, what about us? What, we kind of came in contact with this dead, you know, body, and, you know, we're kind of ceremonially unclean. We really can't participate in this, but, you know, is that really right? Because, man, we want to participate in the Passover, man. We want to celebrate. We kind of inadvertently, you know, stumbled across this situation, and we became defiled by this corpse, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, doesn't that what happens to you and I sometimes? In the sense of our daily life, we get caught up in situations, or something happens, or, I mean, I find if I'm in a car wreck, for example, most people aren't, you know, not everybody's extremely pleasant in those situations. It doesn't always go real pleasantly. So sometimes someone can just, I get phone calls sometimes when people just go off on me. You know, start cussing and swearing and carrying on and blah, 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 and I don't like this and I don't like that. It's like, whoa, hang on a second, you know? I got to find out who it is that's talking to me, you know? But because sometimes it starts out before you even find out. But the idea is what is the counsel regarding that matter? I can get defiled. You can get defiled. We can get defiled. They're concerned about being able to have good communion, fellowship with God. That's what the question is. They want to celebrate the Passover. They want to celebrate this time of communion with God. And they want to know, hey, man, we kind of came across a situation that's made us unclean. Do you ever feel unclean when you come to the table? The Lord's table? I do. You know, I really, it's a time to spend and reflect and kind of contemplate. I try and talk about it through the service, through the message, you know, in my heart. The Lord usually just stirs that way. It's not always, but most of the time the Lord's stirring that way. So that I'm wanting to trigger all of our thoughts that as a body, as a congregation, as individual believers, that we're kind of thinking on that. Hey, pretty soon at the end of the service, I'm going to be at the Lord's table. And I'm trying to stir up, you know, hey, be thinking, be sober. Be asking the Lord, hey, is there something you want to add to my life? Is there something you want to take out of my life? Is there something that's just going on? Is there an attitude in me, Lord, that's just not pleasing to you? Is there a thought process that's just inconsistent with your ways, God? You know, I want to know. And if that's the case, Lord, reveal that to my heart, that I might be right with you as I spend time with you and commune with you at the table. You know, because that idea of coming in an unworthy manner is not really the understanding or what's intended. It's that we're not giving worth to, oftentimes, not giving worth, accepting what or acknowledging what the table can do for us, giving it the value that it really, because none of us come in any state of perfection, you see. So as we come to the table, we want to come and acknowledge God's grace and His goodness as we partake of the bread and the cup, as individuals and as a body of believers. We want to acknowledge, Lord, you know, we need you. You know, I need you as a part of my life, and I want to assimilate that, you know, your ways. And I want to come to you with the same kind of brokenness that you experienced on the cross. I want to come to you with that kind of humility and brokenness. And I want to walk in your ways. I want to have that kind of attitude. That, you know, do you think that way when you come to the table? A lot of times we can just kind of rush into it and just, it's communion, it's all systematic. And man, that's not what the Lord intended. It's to be a time of reflection, contemplation, not a time of condemnation. I said reflection and contemplation. So we're not supposed to be condemned. The Lord's forgiven us. He's what? We got to receive that. Man, and we receive that. That's humbling when I know how gracious God's been to me. That's humbling. And so this is a beautiful example here of what ends up happening as we go on. But I love what Moses did in verse 8. Man, hey, you guys just sit tight. Let me hear from the Lord on this. Oftentimes I get a question and I tell somebody, you know what? You're going to have to let me pray on that and think about that for a day or so. Unless it's a real emergency issue, and then I can pray for quick discernment on a matter. Other than that, I need to just, I got to hang out with the Lord and think about stuff. Now, when I first got started in ministry, it was a lot different. I could pop off, rattle off the answer, and you know, it went really quick then. But now, not because of a lapse of memory, but because I realized I really didn't know what I thought I knew then. So, you know, I realize now, you know, wisdom dictates that, you know, a patient response, unless it's an emergency thing. You know what? I have found oftentimes I will make contact with someone and I'll say, so, hey, I wanted to touch base with you on that. And they'll say, hey, you know what? In my quiet time, the Lord spoke to me. And they tell me that the Lord spoke to me. I said, you know, that bears witness because the Lord spoke that to my heart too. And you know what's so great about that? Is I was so uninvolved in that process and I'm excited. God did something and made him. Please hear me on this, brothers and sisters, because it can make such a difference in the dynamic of your interaction with other believers. God doesn't need you and he doesn't need me to be the Holy Spirit for him. He's got a Holy Spirit and it dwells in us and he works amongst us. That's part of the reason for the delay. I want to seek the Lord, but I also want to give God opportunity because oftentimes that's the case. I very rarely, if ever, almost never, will I interact with anybody before service or about a council matter. And you think, oh, well, that's just not right. That's not very sensitive, Pastor Jim. Well, if you feel that way, I'm sorry, but that's not my intent in it. My intent is that you would see the glory of the Lord in your own heart and that you would hear from Jesus, that Jesus would speak to you and that you would be built up and affirmed in your personal relationship with the Lord. Not built up in Pastor Jim. That's pretty empty, really. But built up in your relationship with Jesus, that you heard from the Lord through the Word, that God spoke to you and you said, yes, yes, God. You know, you're excited because God's ministering to you personally. See, that's really our role as Christians, to help facilitate that one to another. Not to try and be the answer person or be the end of it all. I do everything I can to get things away from myself and get them into God's hands. That's my process. And I believe that God honors that kind of interaction, because it glorifies him. And in an individual's life, there's a different type of growth that can take place because the connection is not through others, but it's through just the Lord. See, you and I need the direct connect. Now, God uses us. God uses us all to interact together, and I rejoice in all that. We're all thankful to be those vessels. But again, we're just the vessel, remember? You're just the conduit. You're the hose, you know? The water's going through it. That's God. The force comes out on its own. But we're just, you get the better picture when you're just the casing, you see. We're not the power. We're not the healing. We're nothing, really. But God wants to partner with us, and I'm thankful for that. That's exciting. Moses, man, he just waits. He says, you know what? I want to listen to the Lord concerning this. And then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, which I love that response.
verse 9, he asked the Lord, and God didn't say, oh, well, you know, not, we're going to talk about that, you know. If you pray and ask God, the Bible says in James that, man, if you ask for wisdom, God will give it liberally to all who ask. But don't ask doubting. You got to ask in faith. You got to believe that God's going to speak to your heart. Believe that God gives the answer. I love this. Moses is just, he goes, well, let me talk to God about it. He's not thinking, well, I'm going to talk to God. I don't know what's going to happen, guys. Matter of fact, don't just stand there. You might as well just sit down because this is going to be a while. You know, I don't know if I'm even going to hear from God. You know, he has total confidence in his interaction with the Lord. Total confidence in his interaction. Then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel saying, if any one of you or your posterity is unclean because of a corpse or is far away on a journey, let's say you're traveling at the time of the Passover, he may still keep the Lord's Passover. On the 14th day of the second month at twilight, 30 days later, they may keep it. They shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall leave none until morning, nor break one of its bones according to all the ordinances of the Passover. They shall keep it. But the man who is clean and is not on a journey and ceases to keep the Passover, that same person shall be cut off from among his people because he did not bring the offering of the Lord at its appointed time that the man shall bear his sin, or that man, excuse me, shall bear his sin. And if a transgressor dwells among you and would keep the Lord's Passover, he must do so according to the rite of the Passover and according to its ceremony. You shall have one ordinance both for the stranger and the native of the land. If anybody wanted to participate in that was, kind of banded up with the nation Israel and wanted to be a part of that, they had to go through the same process as anybody else in this thing. And I like that kind of equality because it really shows the same thing of the way Jesus handles himself. Jew or Gentile, like we learned on Sunday morning, it doesn't matter. Everybody gets, it's one people group that God's made out of all of humanity right now during this time period in which we live. And it's the time where the church age, the church is in existence. And the church is formed out of all, any peoples of the earth that will connect themselves with the person of Jesus Christ. And I mean being born again when I say connect themselves with Jesus Christ. Those who will confess with their mouth, believe in their heart, you know, the true followers of Jesus Christ, born again believers. This is the body, that's the church. That's the church of Jesus Christ, universal. And it's from all peoples, anywhere, anytime, all peoples. And I think that's an important thing. As we see this, as they went through this, all the people came the same way. They celebrated the Passover the same way. There wasn't another option in this. There was one option. Jesus said he's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. There's not plan B or plan C. I just so reject that concept that is permeating around in our society today. Unfortunately, even in the greater scope of Christianity, those that would believe that there is some alternate possible plans out there, that it doesn't exist biblically. And if it doesn't exist biblically, what are we supposed to do with it? I don't care how great an idea it sounds like. What are we supposed to do with it? Dismiss it. What did Paul the Apostle say in Galatians, early part of Galatians? If an angel of light even came to you, speaking any other gospel than the gospel, Paul the Apostle said, that I preached to you, which was Jesus Christ crucified, resurrected, if there's any other gospel that's been preached, let him be accursed. And that's a strong term. Damned to the furthest parts of hell. That's what that means. He was really aggressive about that one. Paul had trouble speaking his mind. Those of you who've read a lot of his writings, he had trouble getting to the point. But, you know, I mean, he was clear about this. No, absolutely not. No other ideas, no other ways, no other options. Jesus didn't say, hey, well, if that's not working for you, man, you know, try plan B or try plan C. Do you read that anywhere? I read that nowhere in my Bible. I read nothing that indicates. I read everything that indicates the opposite of that, that there's one way in Jesus Christ and that all humanity can come through that one way. It's all inclusive and exclusive at the same time, simultaneously. Exclusive in that there is only the one way. All inclusive in that all who would come, anybody who would come and repent, God will turn none away. God will turn none away. It doesn't matter where they've been or what they've done. God will turn none away. So this opportunity for them to spend 30 days if they're out of the area or they're, you know, they're traveling during the day of the Passover, let's say they come back 2 days after, they've got 28 days that they can kind of kick it and kind of just wait, and then they can celebrate Passover. That's awesome. God provides an opportunity for people who really had that desire but got defiled or something, so that it's good. Okay, this is that same idea for us. We come to the Lord's table. We don't want to rush into that. We want to ask the Lord, Lord, if I've gotten defiled in any way, Lord, I ask that you'd wash and cleanse my heart and my mind. Help me to see you for who you are. Let you just touch me. Express yourself to me, Lord, that I might be right with you. Let me know your ways, you know, and just really experience the fullness of what God has. That's all he wants. That's all God wants, is for us to experience that. Now we get into some fun stuff. Verse 15. And on that day, on the day that the tabernacle was raised up, the cloud covered the tabernacle. Now, what was the cloud? The Shekinah glory of God, the kabod, the weight, the presence of God was there. Man, that's awesome. That is so awesome. The very presence of God covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony. From evening until morning, it was above the tabernacle, like the appearance of fire. So during the daytime, you remember, it was this kind of cloud, you know, kind of a syndrolic, you know, syndrolic, I'm not sure if that's really a word. You'd have to use your cylindrical?
Cylindrical.
See, that's why. There's a lot of L's in that one. A cylindrical cloud, you know, and then a pillar, like, and then a pillar of fire then at night. So it was very visible. This is kind of cool to me. As we get into this part and then into chapter 10, which we'll cover tonight, it's not going to take us all night. Well, believe me, we're going to move right through it. But the idea here, it kind of goes a kind of a component a little bit, in that this idea of how they moved, where they went, and how they were guided. I like this idea. Jesus told us to watch and be ready. The trumpet's going to blow. Watch and be ready. It's just interesting. Just lock that away. He told us to watch and be ready. Ultimately, the trumpet's going to sound. And we're to be ready when our master comes for us. We're to be found so doing what would please the Lord. As we look at this, he says that's how the tabernacle was covered with the cloud. It was just this wonderful sense of the presence of God. It was visible to all of the congregation of Israel. Remember, they formed that cross in their assembly, and in the center of this was the tabernacle of meeting. But all their tents faced, and they could all see. Isn't that, what a great thing. This is the thing. All of us should be looking on and seeing the Lord. We should be looking past whatever circumstances, whatever trials, whatever issues. We should be looking past and seeing the Lord in the midst of everything. Just look past. See the Lord. Everybody should be looking unto the Lord. Man, what a great concept. And so it was always. The cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, after that, the children of Israel would journey. And in the place where the cloud settled, there, the children of Israel would pitch their tents. So what's God kind of wanting to, what would you think God's wanting to speak to us as individuals, as the people of God, as followers of God? Well, you keep your eyes on God. You know, now today, I understand, today we don't have a cloud. God, that we would sometimes, huh? But we don't have a cloud, and we don't have a pillar of fire. But something better. In Jeremiah, it says that, I will write it on the tablets of your hearts. It's the new covenant, the new arrangement. I'm going to write this on your heart. You're going to know what to do. But I'm pretty lame. It's real possible I do the wrong thing, God. God knows that. If you're in fellowship with the Lord, you're in the Word, you're in prayer, you're hanging around other believers, and you're seeking God, I guarantee you, brothers and sisters, you're not going to get too far off. The only times you get far off is when your mind takes charge and you start doing things the way you think they're supposed to be instead of the way God prescribes them to be. Man, when you let God lead, no worries. God will give guidance and direction. Part of the process is keeping our eyes on the Lord, isn't it? Trying to look for the Lord in a matter. And if he pulls up and he starts moving, now do you think they started, one, there's a tabernacle that they've built that was told to them through Moses, who got it from the mountaintop talking directly with God. Okay, just go through the scenario with me real quick. These are a bunch of people, just like us. but there's millions of them. No, there's a bunch of people, and they're all hanging out. They've got Moses. Moses goes to the mountaintop. They know, they watch God. Most of these people watch with their own eyes. God do the plagues in Egypt and all the things. They watch them get delivered. Red Sea parted. This is a year and a month ago, okay, that the Red Sea parted and all this stuff happened, okay? It's not just, you know, oh, this was 100 years ago. We can barely read this in our history books. No, this is fresh in their heads, okay? Now, they've been led out. They've watched God do radical stuff. All of a sudden, they do what God says. They put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel. And the angel of death passes over their residences. Their firstborn were spared. Egypt, dead. Every last one of them. That's radical. They saw God move in powerful ways. We've seen God move in powerful ways. They, like us, could easily forget. Thus, the table of the Lord. Thus, the celebration to point us to the table of the Lord. Constantly through the Old Testament, you're going to find, hey, when you get into the land flowing with, man, when I'm just pouring out and blessing on your life, man, don't forget that it was the Lord your God that brought you out of the land of Egypt. I will never, ever, ever forget the day I repented and gave my life back to Jesus Christ. I will never, ever forget. Ever. And the deliverance from the bondage that I was in, I will never forget that. It's important. It's not, I don't live in that in the sense of my life. You know, you've got to keep growing and developing, but I will never forget the power of God and what God has done. Great is our God, and we get blessed as Christians, and we can start thinking we had something to do with it. Oh, God, help us all. We can start thinking that we had more to do with that when we really just didn't. God just showed favor to you. God showed favor to me. And God caused my heart to be open. And I don't care if you're a real good person. Because there's some people that are really good people that just didn't really do a lot of stuff like I would have done. And that's, God bless you. I think that's awesome. But you had the same darkness in your heart as me. You just didn't manifest it quite as much. We're no different. None of us are. And man, we have so much to be thankful for. We can never say, oh, you know, I'm just glad I wasn't like Pastor Jim. You know, we've got to remember that may be true, and I'm thankful too for that. But I was just reading some of my devotions, you know, about Paul saying, you know, I have to really contemplate when I come across this one about, you know, how God displayed his grace and mercy upon sinners of whom I am chief. You know, he's like, oh gosh, that's a painful one. You know, it's so real though. You know, we feel that way about, all of us can feel that way about ourselves. And I understand that. But we've got to remember what God's done for us. That's who we used to be. Now we're somebody else in the Lord. And that is exciting. And that's really what they're celebrating. That's what's wonderful. These people are just a bunch of people like us. And they're being reminded to celebrate this. The Lord is in their presence. Think about it. They've constructed this tabernacle that is to replicate this idea of what the eternal realm looks like, what heaven looks like. All these angelic beings up above the heavens, you know, with angelic beings. We've got the mercy seat there. You know, we've got the wings, you know, between the wings of the cherubim where the presence of the Lord ultimately dwells, where all this of the Shekinah glory that kind of comes down and it just kind of ultimately sits right in there, you know, and just sits right there. And they're just, you know, this is what they've been a part of, this whole process of watching God develop all this stuff. And it's exciting. It's wonderful. They're thrilled, you know. They're watching God at work constantly. And as they're watching this happen, they're reminded, hey, don't forget about the Passover. And listen, by the way, you know, when the cloud kind of picks up, keep your eyes on the tabernacle. When the cloud picks up and starts to move, be ready. Just go with it. We got to watch as God's moving. I try and listen when I'm interacting with people for what the Spirit's doing in that conversation, in that situation, in that circumstance. As a pastor, sometimes it's, you know, it's the rod and the staff type thing. You know, I mean, sometimes I have to be really firm and talk real direct about certain circumstances, that there might be godly correction from the Word, that God would have his way and that would be, but it's all good in the long run. You know, you want people around you that are going to faithful to the wounds of a friend. The Bible's very clear about that. As iron sharpens iron, so the man with the countenance, you know, with his friend, you know, they sharpen each other. The countenance of a friend, you know, the counsel. It's good. It's healthy. We need to hear truth. You know, it's important for us. We got to keep our eyes on the Lord, though, as individuals and as a group. Individual families, individuals in those families, are to keep their eyes on the tabernacle. If the pillar starts to move by night, fire, cloud during the day, if it begins to move, whoop, time to start gathering up our stuff. We're going to be moving, you know. Be aware of what God's doing. Now, this is the thing. They weren't handed a bunch of manuals about this. They were orally told, and they were to keep their eyes on the Lord. Watch, be ready. Watch, be ready. Think about that. Paying attention. What's God doing? Listening for the... When we gather like this, I long to listen for the flow of what God is wanting to minister to us as a congregation. What does God want to speak to us? How does God want to move in our midst? What does God want to do? I want to pay attention to that because I don't want to get out of sync with what the Spirit's wanting to do, what God's wanting to do, and how He wants to do it. They were to watch for this. And it was taken up. And then after that, the children of Israel would journey in verse 17. And in that place where the cloud settled, there the children of Israel would pitch their tents. Okay, looks like we're home, you know. And they just set up camp, and that was where they were to be. The greatest part about this is they're always at home where the presence of the Lord is. You know, our kids, you know, we joke a lot about, we've moved a fair amount. A lot of the way, earlier days of ministry, that's how I survived in ministry, was I would build homes, we'd live in them for a little bit, and I'd sell the house. I build a house and sell the house. You know, at the same time as I'm simultaneously building another house and trying to sell those too. But in our personal one, I do the same thing, you know? And so we'd only lived certain places for kind of not real extended periods of time. It seemed long to me, but it wasn't. That was because we were always in this constant state of project. But the idea is that eventually one of the greatest things that we find with our family is we can be in a hotel room somewhere. We can be out just anywhere. We can be sitting in a restaurant somewhere with our family, and we're at home because we're there. We're home. It's not just the structure. It's the we're home with each other. And that's an encouraging. That's exciting. It's not just the identification with a place, but it's the identification with the people. That's home. Where the presence of the Lord is home. That's home. That's where you pitch your tent. The presence of the Lord is. May the presence of the Lord dwell in your homes. And may you be at home in the presence of the Lord. Really. May that be ours as believers. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel would journey, in verse 18. And at the commandment of the Lord, they would camp. As long as the cloud stayed above the tabernacle, they remained encamped. Well, you know, I don't know. I saw this other place back, maybe about half a mile back. It had a real nice little creek running through it, you know. And I think, you know, me and my family, we're just going to go down there. Really? Wasn't there kind of a big, like a hill, almost a mountain around that corner there? And how are you going to be able to see? How's that going to work? Is isolation a good thing? When you read about that in the Bible, is that a good thing? A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire and rages against all wise counsel. Proverbs 18:1. And maybe two. Is isolation a good thing? No. As Christians, it's never a wise thing. We all need time alone. We need time alone. I agree with that. And we should take time alone. But that's not isolation. That's using your time wisely. That's finding time where you can have time alone. But man, we want to be at home where the presence of the Lord is. Somebody who said that would be isolated. They would have trouble seeing what was happening. They wouldn't be a part of the encampment. Of the flow, the ebb and flow of what God's doing, they'd miss it. And so, important for us. Where the presence of the Lord is, man, that's where we want to camp. Even when the cloud continued long, many days above the tabernacle, the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and did not journey. Even if they got ants in their pants, they just stayed still. Hey, we're going to sit tight. We're going to, you know, this is where God's got us. Do you do that? Are you content with where the Lord's got you right now? Are you content? Godliness with contentment is great gain. Being content, wherever we are, whatever our being content, letting God
move us, letting God give direction, letting God's will and way be done. So it was in verse 20, when the cloud was above the tabernacle a few days, according to the commandment of the Lord, they would remain encamped, and according to the command of the Lord, they would journey. And so it was, when the cloud remained only from evening until morning, and when the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they would journey, whether by day or by night. Whether the cloud was taken up, whenever the cloud was taken up, they would journey. What do you think God's trying to do? You know, to me, he's really trying to give a good, solid, practical lesson of obedience too, don't you think? That, hey, stay with the group, stay with the Lord, stay with the plan, stay with what would, you know, stay with Dad. Dad knows what he's doing. Don't start getting off sidetracked on your own thing. Stay with the group. I love this. I love the way the Lord does it. And it's such a practical example of this. And I love that even when it's inconvenient, notice, even when it's inconvenient, you know, middle of the night moving around is never good, you know. I'd just gotten back. We'd been somewhere on errands or something. I'd just gotten back, and I was changing my clothes. It was late evening. I was changing my clothes into just hang around the house clothes. And there's this, like, frantic knock on the door, you know. And the doorbell's ringing. Anybody who's ever come by my house, I've got a dog that sounds off like crazy whenever the doorbell rings or the door knocks or dogs bark outside or the ducks come up too close or the geese come up too close or it just sounds off. You know, it just starts going. So the dog's going on. I think, wow, okay. So I'm moving really fast, scrambling to get some clothes, you know, my clothes changed quickly. So I go downstairs and it's one of, most of the people around me are a little bit older than us by 20 or 30 years. That's just a fact. And the younger ones would be 20 years older than us. But so this one of the neighbors had come to the door and was, you know, just all out of breath, this gal, and she was pretty frantic and said, I've been to every door. I've been to, you know, so-and-so has fallen and she can't get up. You know, I'm having these funny things running around in my mind, you know. Well, didn't she push the button? I just humor, it's a bad thing. Anyhow, so I'm like, okay, hang on. You know, so I run out the door with her and, you know, she's scurrying on ahead. She's scurrying ahead. She's yelling to her friend, the minister's coming, the minister's coming. And I'm just starting, in my mind now, I'm thinking of all other kinds of funny things. I'm just starting to laugh. But anyway, I was trying to be real serious because I knew it was a serious moment, but inside myself, I was laughing. So I kind of come around the corner. I come running around the corner. And one of my dear little, my immediate neighbor, next door neighbor, you know, had fallen. It was kind of slick. It was kind of rainy that day. And she'd slipped and fallen. And she's just so upset with herself, you know. And she's like, man, I knew I shouldn't have gone out, but I did anyway. I wanted to bring this key back to so-and-so. And, you know, and they've got this whole big, long story about why it's all happened. I said, hey, hang on. Do you hurt or what's going on? You know, we finally get her settled and all this stuff. Man, you know, this is just, it's not always the most convenient times, you know, when things happen in any of our lives. And that's what this was too. They were to do what God had purposed for them to do. And if it was day or night, that's what they were to do. It's not always when it's super convenient. Well, I'm feeling well rested. Hey, mind if I carry you into the house? You know, I mean, it's like, you know, it's not always the most convenient time. Sometimes you're all fried and frazzled and, you know, I was so worried about breaking more of her body than what had probably already been broken, you know, but it all worked out fine. Everything was fine to the best of my knowledge. Everyone's okay. It was, I believe, a hospital visit and I haven't heard all the outcome of all that yet. It's not always the most convenient times. And let's pick it up in verse 22. Whether it was 2 days, a month, or a year that the cloud remained above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would remain encamped and not journey. But when it was taken up, they would journey. At the command of the Lord, they remained encamped. At the command of the Lord, they journeyed. And they kept the charge of the Lord at the command of the Lord by the hand of Moses. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, make two silver trumpets for yourself. You shall make them of hammered work, and you shall use them for calling the congregation and for directing the movement of the camps. And when they blew, both of them, all the congregation shall gather together at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. But if they blew only one, then the leaders and the heads of the divisions of Israel shall gather to you. And when you sound the advance, the camps that lie on the east side shall begin their journey. And when you sound the advance a second time, the camps would lie on the south. They began their journey, and so on, as they would sound the trumpets off. The sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow the trumpets, and these, in verse 8, shall be to you as an ordinance forever throughout your generations. And when you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppress you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, and you will be remembered before the Lord your God, and you will be saved from your enemies. What a instrument of security and encouragement, you know? The sound of the, you know, kind of the battle cry type thing, you know, it's just a really cool rallying point. You know, it's an awesome concept. When we've gone through this before, we've kind of touched on this, that there were two trumpets and there were only twice that the Lord sounded a trumpet, okay? The trumpet of the Lord. There's only two times that the Lord sounded it. The first was at Mount Sinai, and then the second's yet to be heard. Okay? It was at the giving of the law, and it's going to be at the rapture of the church. This is important. Those are the two trumps of God. Not four, not eight, not six, not seven. Two trumps of God. If you add more trumps of God, you will get confused when we go through Revelations again. Revelation. When we get through that again, because there's the angels are sounding trumpets that are sending off judgments and all kinds of things, remember? And so if you read it in that light, that those are the trump of God, it can be confusing. Well, so did this happen in the middle of the, you know, tribulation period that they were, because they're going to be sounded again in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, that the trump of God is going to sound. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and we remain, we'll gather together with them in the air and forever be with the presence of the Lord. So we're going to go to be with the Lord. That's the rapture of the church. We'll be caught up together. A violent snatching away, the word describes. Rapture. That word came out of the Latin Vulgate is where it came out of. And so we get this word rapturus, or rapture for us. And it's really powerful. It means that violent, you know, just removal. It's done. The trump's going to sound. The trump of God, the trump of the Lord is going to sound. There's only two trumps of the Lord. There's the one with Mount Sinai when the word was, when the law was given. And I think Exodus 19:16, I believe. That's what I've written down in my notes, so you can check on that. But it's in Exodus there when Moses got those, and it sounded as a trumpet from the Lord. Anyway, if you don't grasp that, it would become slightly confusing. Because you could think there's a lot of trumpets in the Bible. Notice this: these ones were used for many different occasions, for rallying the people, for preparing them for battle, for getting them ready for movement. Interesting that the trump sounds in preparation for movement, and that they are also to watch and be ready. So we're to keep our eyes on the Lord, watching and be ready for movement. And we're also to be listening and waiting for the sound of the trump. Man, one day, the trumpet's going to blow. Man, the way things are going, it looks like it could happen any time, if you're keeping up with world affairs. There's a big stirring, you know, with Israel and stuff right now. There's a big stirring. They are preparing and expecting battle, expecting warfare. Where is this coming from? You know, we'll have to see what's going to happen. But there's no doubt that there's a lot of preparation going on. Also in verse 10, in the day of your gladness, in your appointed feasts, and in the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over your sacrifices and over your peace offerings, and they shall be a memorial for you before your God. I am the Lord your God. Now it came to pass on the 20th day of the second month in the second year that the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle of testimony. And the children of Israel set out from the wilderness of Sinai on their journey. Then the cloud settled down in the wilderness of Paran. And so they started out from the first time according to the command of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Now, Judah's the first group to go out, and it was according to their armies. And this is their this is just the way it went. This is from family to family to family to family to family to family all the way down through verse 27. And it's very similar as we go along. So we may not read all of those groups and camps that struck out. Interesting, who is the lion of the tribe of Judah? Who is that? Yeah, Jesus. So interesting, they strike out first. They're kind of the leaders. That's great to know, kind of a good exemplary thing. Jesus is our leader. He's going to strike out first. We're going to follow His lead. He's going to strike out first, and he's going to be the leader of the group. And you know, Judah, the name itself means praise. You know, and I think that's a good thing for us. You know, whenever we've had a group prayer, you know, we talk about enter his courts with thanksgiving in our hearts, enter his courts with praise. You know, I really believe that that's a good
preliminary way to get started with your prayer time, get started with your personal worship time, with praise and thanksgiving. Just getting your heart right that God's, man, God's done great things. God loves us and God's blessing, and just praise Him for who He is. And even the trials and the circumstances, just praise Him. God, you know, I know You have a purpose in this. I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know how it's going to play out, but I know You've got a plan. So they just followed then after the group, Judah, they just followed them, and each group followed out after. Verse 21, then the Kohathites set out, carrying the holy things. The tabernacle would be prepared for their arrival. So they carried all the internal intricacies, you know, and brought all that stuff with them. And they carried that. Now, verse 28, thus was the order of the march of the children of Israel according to their armies when they began their journey. I think this is important. All of these groups went out in a very decent and orderly fashion. It was not willy-nilly, and I know we have trouble finding exactly a definition on that, but it was not willy-nilly. It was not, you know, just anything goes. It wasn't people, you know, running and stomping ahead of each other. It was, they went out in a decent, orderly fashion. God had organized the people, His people, and He was getting them to move as a unit. You know, I really think keeping our eyes on the Lord, and I've talked about this a couple times. A.W. Tozer, in his Pursuit of God, the book, The Pursuit of God, you know, he mentions this kind of a unity within the people of God, that as we are keeping our eyes on the Lord, we're really seeking God, we're really focused on the things of the Lord, we're keeping our eyes on God. As we're keeping our eyes on the Lord and watching the Lord and seeing what the Lord is doing, we are going to be in unison. Very similar as if you or I were to, you know, he used the example as if you tuned 1,000 pianos all together. You tuned them to one fork. When all these people sat down to play, they would sound in unison because they were tuned to the same fork. That's the key. We want to be tuned to the same fork. We want to be tuned to the person of Jesus Christ. If we're tuned into the Lord, man, we're going to see God move and do powerful, wonderful things. Thus was the order of the march of the children of Israel according to their armies when they began their journey. Whenever they would start out on their journey, they would move as one unit, basically. You know, when Nehemiah finished, you know, the wall, finished all the things, it was, and then they praised the Lord. They were excited. They were worshiping God. And they were as one man before the Lord, the Bible says. You know, that those are good things to note and remember. Is isolation a good idea? No. I'll help you with that. No. Not according to God's word. Again, these guys all moved out in sequential flow, order. All brings glory to and honor to God. Now, Moses said to Hobab, the son of Reuel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are setting out for the place of which the Lord said, I will give it to you. Now, he's talking about the land of promise, the place to think. Now, just think about this with me just for a moment. And I tell you a lot of times, man, I want to drag all my friends, anybody I can come, I want to drag them with me into eternity, everlasting life. This is that kind of a concept. Just listen as we read this. Because, man, we're going to a land of promise, man. This is nothing. You know, this isn't nothing compared to where we're going. The commercial's pretty lame. And I can't remember what they're selling. But everywhere this person touches their feet, it just turns to gold. I was watching it, a couple days ago in the evening. I was watching this commercial. And, you know, as soon as the foot hit the manhole turns to gold. And all of a sudden the whole street starts turning to gold. And then hits the curb starts turning to gold. I'm saying, man, that's what heaven's going to look like. You know, streets of gold, man. What a wonderful, phew, powerful concept to think. We are setting out for the place of which the Lord said, I will give it to you. Come with us, and we will treat you well, for the Lord has promised good things to Israel. I said, man, come on, dude. That's just my paraphrase. Come with us, man. We're going to have a good, this is a great venture that we're on. You know, it's not only adventure, but this is a great venture. You know, we're striking out to go someplace that is awesome. The life everlasting that begins now when we give our lives to Jesus is a great journey, a wonderful journey. And not only is the journey awesome, but the end result is even more powerful. And he said to him, I will not go. He said, nah, bro, I don't think so.
But I will depart to my own land and to my relatives. And so Moses said, please do not leave, inasmuch as you know how we are to camp in the wilderness, and you can be our eyes. He says, man, dude, come on. God can use you. God can use you. You can be a part of this, man. Don't feel like you're an outsider, bro. Stick with it. God can use you too. When people give their lives to the Lord, it doesn't matter where they've been or what they've done, God can use them too. God can use you too. Stay with it, man. Don't leave. Inasmuch as you know we're going to be camped in the wilderness, you can be our eyes. And it shall be, if you go with us, indeed it shall be that whatever good the Lord will do to us, the same we will do to you. Man, if God's blessing, man, God's going to take care of you too. Just hang out with us. And so they departed from the mountain of the Lord on a journey of 3 days. And the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord went before them for the 3 days journey to search out a resting place for them. And the cloud of the Lord was above them by day when they went out from the camp. So it was, whenever the ark set out, that Moses said, and this is what he would speak. These are good things. Rise up, O Lord. It's okay. The pillar's gone up. Rise up, O Lord. The pillar's gone up. Let your enemies be scattered, and let those who hate you flee before you. Basically, may God go before us. As you go in front of us, God, man, may people just scatter. Any of your enemies, God, may they scatter. Anything that's going, just, man, let your enemies be scattered, and let those who hate you flee before you. And when it rested, he said, return, O Lord, to the many thousands of Israel. Just, man, may you just rest here. Rest upon us, upon your people. May we be in fellowship with you. You know, this idea of going out and following the Lord and the venture really of faith that we're all on as Christians, the journey that we're on, I think it's so important to pay attention to the move of God's Spirit. I think it's important to be sensitive as God's doing whatever it is that he's doing, and to watch for it, and to remember that God goes before us. God goes on in advance. He says, you know, you're not alone. I will never leave you nor forsake you. He goes out even in advance. Now, the danger is when we run out in advance ahead of God, then now we're pretty vulnerable. When we let God lead and he goes out in advance of us, we're following the flow. Now again, what about those that said, no, I can't believe we're doing this again, man. Look at, come on. We just kind of got our stuff. I know where the bathroom is. I know where the stuff is. I know, you know, I just got comfortable over here, you know, and now this is happening and which we're going to see a lot of this. You know, right now we're seeing some kind of cool stuff. Pretty soon we're getting into, this is the book of murmurings. It's a bummer. It's a direct look in the mirror. Don't spend too, we got to move through it because it's pretty painful, I think, a lot of times, you know, for all of us. But the reality is, because, you know, this is humanity. This is all of us. But may we learn from it to be dependent on God, to be content, to be rested in him, to be available, to let God, you know, whether it's day or night, whether it's convenient or inconvenient, just to kind of flow with the Lord. And I really believe this through prayer through establishing ministries, you know, over the years, one of the things that I really think is one of a good note or a good lesson is to really spend time and seek the Lord and say, God, what is it that you want to do? How do you want to do it? I want to get in the current, just kind of jump in the flow of what you're doing and flow with you. You know, just flow with God. God's got a current. He's got a flow. He's got something he's doing. And just to flow with the Lord. If I'm resistant, now I'm going against the flow. I'm going against the current. We used to get out in the river, in the Colorado River sometimes, and we'd you know, you'd have to kind of swim up like this, you know, in order to end up straight across when you ended up swimming across the river. Because there's a pretty strong current when you get out toward the middle of it, and it'll just start pulling you down. And you can feel it. And so you start swimming out, you kind of swim upstream a little bit, and then eventually you kind of just kind of end up coming back along shore pretty close to straight across from where you went out. But there's a flow of that. If you just started swimming straight out, you'd end up, you know, way down river from where you started off, even though you're on the other side. The same, we want to be in the flow.
We want to be flowing with God. We want to do what God's doing. We don't want to just go against the current or get ahead of God. We want to be right in that place. So it seems that watching and readying ourselves, watching for when the movement of God is and where the movement of God is, watching. And this is a spiritual matter. And again, it's not just in my mind. It's not just in our heads. We have to balance it up against God's word so that we know this is consistent with God. Or else we can get off doing this over here, and that has nothing to do with what God's doing. It can be noble. It can seem good. It can all be well and fine. But it has nothing to do with what God's doing. I personally don't have a lot of time for that. Personally. I think that's a waste of time. I want to be right doing what God has purpose for me to be doing. I don't want to spin my wheels over here, because that's the engine's revved. You know, the wheels are going. RPMs are we're tacking out on this thing, but it's just mud flying everywhere. You're not getting anywhere, just mud's flying. That's not what we want as believers. We want to be in that progressive flow. I like the way I use that term, progressive. You're still awake. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your guidance and your direction. We thank you for the way you lead. Your word, Lord, is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Lord, your word lights up so that we can see where the next step should be taken. And your word lights up enough of the path that we have that guidance, that direction that we're to take. Lord, we thank you for that, that we can see where we're stepping, and we can see out in front just enough that we don't trip over a rock or a little hole or something in the path. Lord, help us to see your word as that guidance for our lives. May it be the standard. Lord, may we look to you as we see Moses spending time and looking to you for that guidance and direction. Lord, we thank you so much for your love, and we just pray that in a few weeks, as we come to that time again of being able to celebrate communion and the Lord's table together, Lord, we would be continuing to grow in what that means and really experience what you have for us. And Lord, in our fellowship time with you, that personal time of communion, Lord, we want to take time to hear from you, not just to be telling you things, but to be listening to you, to be listening through your word. And Father, help us. It's difficult in our world in which we live. Time seems to get away from us so easily, and there's a lot of constraints and things vying for our time and our attention. And Lord, without us spending time with you, it would be easy for us to get off of the path, get off of the direction that you have for our lives and for our fellowship. And so we just pray, Lord, that you would continue to guide us and direct us and help us to be sensitive to your Spirit and your Spirit's leading, that our ways might please you, that we might be walking in your ways and therefore surely pleasing you, Lord. Thank you for your patience with us, Father, for your loving kindness. We just pray that you would continue to minister freely as only you can by the power of your Spirit, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.